The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown.
Psychosis? Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to episode 141 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don De Laurentiis. I'm joined by my returning co-host. After 2 weeks, Didi Jonet has made her way back to the WrestleCast.
Hi, friend.
Hey, Didi, how are you?
I'm good. I just had to make a quick stop at Samoa. You know, I had to see what was going on directly from the island.
Yes. I saw your Snapchats. Looks like it was a good time.
Oh, there was one at the club. Almost made him my wife.
Oh, yeah? That's interesting. Interesting. So, anything else you'd like to let us know about your trip?
No. I have Capri Sun. Well, yes. I was in Key West. I didn't really go to Samoa. I just, you know, kayfabe. But I was in Key West, and I got wine. But instead of it being in a bottle, it's in, like, a Capri Sun container. So, I'm definitely going to be imbibing that. It's great.
That's a very nice fake out. Just don't let your nephews think that it's juice that they can have. And we're also joined tonight by Miss Simi. Simi, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. You can follow Simi on Twitter at DancingElf88. Simi is always in the Rawcast of SmackDown Matters, so this is her first time on the WrestleCast, and of course that means that we have to find out her origin story. So Simi, what made you and what keeps you a fan of professional wrestling?
I started watching it in like 2001. I was in like 6th grade, and all the boys were like talking about wrestling, and I was like, what are you talking about? And so I watched, I think it was SmackDown. Yeah, it was SmackDown, and I remember it was like a match with Kane or something. I don't know what was happening, but there was a whole bunch of fire and pyrotechnics, and he wouldn't die, and I was like, oh my God. So then I got hooked, and I stopped watching when I like got to high school, because I went to a boarding school, so there wasn't really like TV or anything. So I stopped watching for a while, and then I got back into it a couple of years ago. It was around the time like AJ Lee and them were like getting really big, and I saw like all these like ladies, and I was like, oh, look, they're not in like bras and panties, and it's not like a mud match. And then I saw Naomi, and I fell in love. So that's what's keeping me going, is like all like more focused on like the ladies and treating them as equal. And I love Sami Zayn and Seth Rollins and everything, and that's what keeps me going.
All right. Well, we are glad to have you here as our guest tonight on the WrestleCast. I'd like to let everybody know that you can find the WrestleCast online at www.cspn.us. You can also find us at thewrestlecast.tumblr.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play. And you can also find us on SoundCloud as well. You can also find us on any app that allows you to download, subscribe, and listen to podcasts. So a little bit of news before we get into our reviews. TNA has officially changed names. It is now GFW for Global Force Wrestling, as Jeff Jarrett has pulled off the greatest power move in the history of wrestling, as he had his old company buy his new company and change the name to the new company. So congrats to Jeff Jarrett. They're going to be like rebranding all the titles and stuff in a couple of weeks as well. So they've got like a major reset. So now the TV show will be known as Impact, and the actual federation will be now known as Global Force Wrestling.
Oh, interesting. Is Global Force Wrestling green?
Yes.
You know, like, okay, so like how Raw is red and SmackDown is blue. It seemed very green when I watched my hour of Impact earlier tonight.
Yes, yes. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, so he basically created a company, ran like a pilot of shows that never got aired, never got picked up, and still somehow got back on at TNA, and then had the new TNA by the old TNA. It's fantastic.
He's kind of a big deal. I like him.
Yeah, kind of.
Is that Karen Angle's husband, or did she marry somebody else?
Yeah, that is Karen Angle's
husband. Mm-hmm. She went with the money. I'm not mad at that.
As Sam would say, that's the reason why Kurt's always sweating, because Jeff is doing all these different things with his ex-wife. And our second bit of news is, over this past weekend, Kenny Omega became the first ever IWGP United States champion as he defeated Ishii in the finals Sunday night in Long Beach, as New Japan hosted their very first ever card in the United States over the weekend. So tune in to the episode 9 of Cast of Strong Style, and you will get the full rundown from me and Mota. So now we're going to go into Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw comes to you from Phoenix, Arizona. Enzo starts with an in-ring promo on how Cass never had his back all along. He names all the various things that have happened to him while he's been on the main roster, where Cass wasn't there to have his back. Enzo explains his feelings for why he won't follow Cass over to the dark side. So, Simi, how'd you feel about this promo?
This Enzo Cass just breaks my heart. It's sad every time I see him. Just throw little Enzo down that ramp.
He now has a tattoo thug tier. So,
that's great.
Yeah, so yeah, a lot of people were really praising the promo this past week by Enzo to start the show off. Then we go backstage where Cass has his rebuttal in a promo with Charlie when Enzo jumps Cass from behind. They brawl until they're broken up by the officials in the back. So Enzo getting his scrappy do on.
That's so insulting.
But I mean, where's the lie though?
Scrappy do was awful though.
He said awful. You guys hear me? I got to give a big shout out to Jupiter Julep's nephew. He was the first one who said that Enzo reminds him of Scrappy Doo like last year sometime. All right, so we start off with our very first match of the night. We have The Boss, Sasha Banks, and Bayley teaming up to go against Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss. Bayley gets taken out by Nia before the first commercial break, and now it's a handicap match. She got thrown to the outside, and then Nia basically like ran into her with her knee up against the barricade, and looked like Bayley had like concussion, or at least she was dazed enough where she couldn't continue. Sasha beats the odds and puts Alexa Bliss in a bank statement, and she gets the victory. So, leading up to their match this Sunday at Great Balls of Fire. Simi, any thoughts on this match?
I love Nia so much. She's so strong and powerful. And she out, it makes me so happy.
Were you watching this, DD, or did you check out Monday Night Raw?
No, I watched it. Me and my nephew bonded over it until he left me for some. But I saw all this. Okay. Yeah, I was there. Seen it.
Any thoughts, concerns?
I was just like, because I'm petty, I don't need it.
I know you are. And yeah. I already know who you're gonna pick on this. Who you got?
You, yeah, tú sabes. You already know.
Yeah. I do love Alexa though, but I need Sasha to get that belt back for like longer than a week though.
For the culture.
I thought the tag team of Sasha Banks and Bayley was pretty strong. They seemed to get a pretty good crowd reaction.
Well, yeah, everybody loves the besties.
Yeah, so.
I'm still waiting on that heel turn, though, but I'll take my time.
Yeah, it doesn't look like we're going that route anymore. So
I don't trust them. You see what they did to Enzo and Cass.
This is true. We get Kurt Angle in the back. He's on the phone when Braun runs up on him. Braun wants to know what Kurt is going to do when Roman doesn't show up for the match this Sunday. Braun wants to wrestle, but Kurt says he doesn't think anybody wants to face him this close to a pay-per-view. Braun tells Kurt he's going to the ring at some point tonight, and Angle's the smart man. He'll figure something out. Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar, they show a video package on their feud. Then we get Cedric Alexander versus Noam Dar. Alicia tries to distract Cedric, but it backfires and allows Cedric to hit the lumbar check, and Cedric gets the win.
Yes. My nephew wanted to know why she took off her neck brace and was she going to injure herself.
What is happening with Alicia Fox? Like, why? This is, like, this whole Noam Dar weird. I don't understand it.
I guess because Noam Dar, he's an okay talker, but not really. So I guess they kind of put her with him to kind of help him with his promos and give him a story. But this thing with him and Cedric Alexander has been going on for like 3 months, so they kind of need to move along. Next, we get Miz TV. Miz runs down the Ball family and their appearance last week, and then he starts to go in on Dean Ambrose. Dean finally comes out to cut his own promo, and he asks for his IC title rematch tonight. Heath Slater then comes out and cuts promo on why he deserves a title shot over Ambrose. Miz says he wasn't giving either one of them a title match tonight because they had a party to attend in Los Angeles. Angle comes down and grants Slater his title match tonight and grants Ambrose his title shot this Sunday at Great Balls of Fire. I love Heath Slater. He's so entertaining. And he was spitting nothing but the straight facts, so that's why he's the best.
I always forget that he's a really good wrestler until I like
Yeah, he's very good. So we get Heath Slater versus The Miz in our Intercontinental title match. Heath hits power slam off the top rope when Axel gets on the apron. Rhino pulls him off, and Rhino gets beat down outside the ring by Axel and Bo Dallas. Slater is distracted by the action on the outside of the ring, and Miz hits the skull-crushing finale to get the win. After the match, Axel and Bo Dallas continue to beat up Slater when Dean runs down from the announce table to make the save. Axel and Bo Dallas eventually jump Ambrose from behind, and the Miz arrives, beat down Ambrose, and then Miz gives Dean the skull-crushing finale. So, Didi, I know you were enthused if you watched this to see Dean get beat up.
Yes, it made me so happy. You don't even understand.
Simi, are you in the camp that's kind of tired of Dean Ambrose?
I've been tired of him for so long.
Yes. Every time I
doesn't. How is that so effective? I hate him. Every time he gets beat up, I get so happy.
My kind of people.
Next, we have Titus Brand Worldwide in the Back. Titus hypes up Apollo Crews to take on Braun Strowman later tonight. Poor Apollo, that's all I have to say. Foreshadowing. Then we get Goldust. He's in the ring to show us his new film, The Shattered Truth. It's the video of the beatdown of R-Truth from last week. After the video, R-Truth is in the ring behind Goldust, and he beats Goldust down. I thought this was a pretty good segment, like the way that this all worked out. Glad they made use of the cameraman from last week. And that man having to walk backwards like 1,000 feet. to make sure he got gold dust from his entrance to the ring. So next we get Kurt Angle. He makes a stipulation to the tag team match this Sunday. He says that it's going to be a 30-minute Iron Man match. Then Cesaro asks for a match later tonight versus Finn Balor, and Kurt Angle agrees. So, like, how was the creep cast Bay quotient when that was announced?
It was lit.
So happy.
Next, we get Seth Rollins versus Kurt Hawkins. Kurt cuts an in-ring promo that lasts longer than the match because the bell rings and Seth hits the snowmaker and gets to win. Then Seth cuts an in-ring promo on Bray Wyatt. Again, Kurt Hawkins has this damn shower rod he brings to the ring every week and he never tries to use it on anybody. I think it's supposed to be a cane, but it looks more like a high-end shower rod to me.
He's just like a race car every time I see him.
Next, Brock and Samoa Joe have their sit-down interview. Of course, they're in separate parts of the arena. Joe gets heated and starts looking for Lesnar in the back. Joe finds Lesnar, but gets held back by the security. Brock Lesnar was being real nonchalant in this, you know, trying to, like, play Joe, and Joe wasn't really having it.
Not at all.
Samoa Joe is my favorite. I love him so much. Every time he just appears out of nowhere, my heart sings.
Yeah, I have an internal theory about him, like that he was bullied by all the other Samoans, and it hardened his heart.
Probably.
It made him like extra angry. I don't. It's probably not true, but I like it. It works for me.
The anger comes from somewhere.
Yeah. It has to. Like, it's gotta feel kind of fucked up that she's like, you're the only one. Like, hell, they even claim Tamina. She ain't even Samoan. She's from Fiji. Like, they don't claim you? That's crazy.
Paul Heyman always, like, rubs that in. It has to get him. That's why it happened.
It's so fun.
Next we have Mustafa Ali versus Neville. Neville catches Ali with the clothesline, and then Neville follows that up with the rings of Neville, and Ali taps out. Then we get Bray Wyatt. He does his promo out in the desert. It was kind of all over the place. This one wasn't as like centered as they have been the past few weeks, but it's Bray Wyatt out in the middle of the desert, so it was still cool. Alexa Bliss, she has a promo in the back about her match with Sasha this Sunday. Her and Charlie got into it a little bit as Alexa was trying to deflect the fact that Sasha won, and that could be a bad omen for her this Sunday. Then we get Finn Balor versus Cesaro. Balor hits Cesaro with the shotgun dropkick on the outside. Finn rolls Cesaro back into the ring, hits the Kevin Sullivan ultimate foot stomp, and gets the win. Thoughts, concerns?
I don't want Finn Balor to get hurt again. Every time he's on the ring, I'm just like, don't get hurt. Don't get hurt. Just my heart races. I'm scared for him because he gets hurt so easily.
Oh, that's how we feel about Sasha Banks.
Every time she does that dive, I'm like, if you hit your shoulder or your head, I'm going to scream.
Yes. So then we get Braun Strowman versus Apollo Crews. Titus Worldwide in the main event. So, you know, Titus is at least coming through. You know, he got Tozawa title shot. He's got Apollo Crews in the main event on Raw. So, you know, it's not all bad. Braun kicks Apollo out of the air while Apollo was trying to do his standing moonsault. And I thought he, like, broke his shoulder, broke his neck. And I'm glad he didn't kick him out of the ring. Because if he would have kicked him out of the ring, I don't think Apollo Crews would have been able to show his face around anywhere again. Did you see that, Dee Dee?
No, I must have been on a potty break.
Oh, man, it was bad. It was real bad. Braun follows that up with 3 running power slams, and then he gets the pin. Titus, you know, jumps in the ring, tries to take up for Apollo. Braun ends up giving Titus the random power slam, and then he proceeds to beat Apollo down, and then he puts him in the back of the ambulance that was up by the ramp. Braun hits the ambulance for it to take Cruz away, but it doesn't move. He does this a couple more times. The ambulance still doesn't move. So Braun walks around to the front, looks in the driver's seat, and then he opens the driver's side door of the ambulance, and he's attacked by Roman Reigns. The two men brawl until Roman spears Braun off of the stage and through a table. And this is how we ended Monday Night Raw.
This was lit.
Yeah, they did the old switcheroo. They told everybody Roman wasn't there.
They're like, Roman can't be there. He's not going to be there. You better give me back. All that talking. And then he got speared. Into a table. It was great.
Simi, your thoughts on Raw as a whole, the last segment, last main event?
I missed this match because this was my bedtime, so I missed this match.
Okay. Now,
excuse me, Alexa. Quick question. Are you at all worried that Sasha's victory in your tag team match tonight might be foreshadowing what's going to happen in your championship match on Sunday at Great Balls of Fire?
Really? That's your question? Wow. No, I'm not worried. Why don't you consider the fact that I let Sasha win, giving her a false sense of security? It's called strategy, Charlie, and it's smart. Winning requires strength as well as intelligence.
I'm sorry, but I don't think anyone actually believes you strategically let Sasha win tonight.
Well, no one cares what you think. That's why you're holding a microphone and I'm holding the Raw Women's Championship. And I'll still be holding it after Sunday.
All right. Well, at this point, We'll move on to our spritterny SmackDown Matters correspondent, Miss Dede Jeanette.
Oh my God, it's been so long. I didn't even look at my notes. Oh, you know why? Because John Cena came back and I didn't care. That's what happened. John Cena came back and I was angry. I had to watch it. And I was like, why he can't take his ass to Raw? He annoyed me. What do these notes say? Oh, they were in Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah. And then John came out and he's so annoying. And he's like, who is he? He's like that uncle that used to be really cool, but then he ain't cool like 10 years later, and you're like, my God, you're so corny. Like, he's that, but in like Caucasian wrestler form. But yeah, he talks about, you know, how America is awesome. You know, it's not like there's any discrimination going on in this good old US of A. You can do anything if you're black, if you're white, if you're green, if you're purple, if you're Indian. You can prosper. All you gotta do is work hard. And it's the same in the WWE. You know, it's only like they've only had like 2 black champions. But so what? It's just happenstance. You can do it if you work hard enough. So then he's like talking about how they think he's like gone Hollywood and he's a part-timer. He says, I'm an all-timer. Blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares. He mentions the top guys and was like, I'll fight all of y'all. I'll fight Nakamura. And I was like, who do you think you're talking to? But then he said he would fight Jinder Mahal, Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar, and for the cheap pop of booze, he said he would fight Roman Reigns too. But luckily, you know, sometimes it takes an immigrant because Rusev interrupts. He says he works hard and he works so hard that he got hurt in the ring while John was off filming movies. He saw the commercials, was like, where are my commercials? I'm coming back too. Why I don't get commercials? And so he said he had sent video messages to Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, but he wasn't waiting anymore, especially not for John Cena to take an opportunity away from him. He calls America a joke. I can't spot the lie. There's some corny joke that he makes, and he dares Rusev to get to the ring. He said, on Bulgarian Independence Day, they go out and march and show their pride, but in America, they eat hot dogs, which, hey, burnt hot dogs are all the things. So then some more things happen. Long story short, it ends up in a match, but it's not for tonight. It's actually a flag match, which the last one I remember involved Hacksaw Jim Duggan, so I'm not quite familiar. But there will be a flag match, I guess, at Great Balls of Fire. Like, are we really supposed to call it that?
No, not for this one. That SmackDown's pay-per-view will be called Battleground.
Oh, Battleground. Oh. See, that's much better. Because, see, SmackDown would never name something Great Balls of Fire. No shade.
That's...
No shade. No shade. Great Balls of Fire is an awful name. Let's just put that out there. You might want to get your team, Donald. That's not even really your team, though. That's Sam's team. You have 205 Live in New Japan. But anyway.
NXT would be my team. And
NXT for sure.
Yeah, they do great things over there.
I do kind of appreciate how they've all decided, we'll all just pick separate colors. Like, NXT got yellow. Jeff Jarrett got green. 205 got purple. Like, I love that. Like, get the rainbow in. It's cute. But yeah, some other things happen. JBL calls John Cena the greatest of all time because if JBL couldn't get any cornier, you know, why stop now? Later on tonight, there's going to be a women's title match with Lana and Naomi. And there's going to be a rap battle between the Ethnics. I'm sure you know who that is. The next, Chad Gable and AJ Styles show up to Daniel Bryan's office. He says, Daniel says Kevin Owens has been complaining about this event being in the Royal tonight, considering he's beaten them both. Daniel says he's going to have a one-on-one match between the two of them to decide which one of them gets to be in the Battle Royal. AJ's like, I'm fine with a little competition. And Chad is like, who the hell you call it little? I'm a whole lot of competition. In my head, he said it like Foxy Cleopatra. I'm a whole lot of woman. So that matches up next. The things happen. AJ goes for a phenomenal forearm. Gable knocks him off the rope. AJ comes back with a snap suplex into the turnbuckles. Chad counters into a splash into an ankle lock. Then AJ reverses it into a calf crusher, but Gable's able to make it to the ropes. The things, they happen. Style nails a phenomenal forearm for the pinfall after a Pele kick for the win. After the match, AJ helps Chad to his feet and they do the nod of respect, or R-E-S-P-E-C-K. Yes.
I loved it. It was a good match.
Yeah. Chad can go. He's skilled.
He's really like He's very skilled, and I like when they did the ankle lock, and then AJ put the calf crush on him, and then when he got out of it, they went to both stand up, and then they both fell.
And they both collapsed, yes.
Yeah.
That was failure cool. injuries, yes. I do appreciate that. Next, Mojo's in his locker room, looking at his Hype Bros t-shirt. Zach comes in, he says, I'm sorry about the match last week. I was on vacation, so I don't know what happened. It doesn't matter. Mojo said, it's fine, and Ryder's like, no, no, it's not. He's like, but I got you in this battle royal tonight. I'll have your back. Mojo's like, ha, you better watch your back. And it's like, yeah. Because remember, I won the Andre the Giant battle royal. Shake hands and go off. But you know, if you know anything about foreshadowing, you see who Mojo is. You see what they about to do. And don't think I didn't notice that they played all of the ethnics and the spicy whites on the 4th of July. I peeped it. Yes, I did. But we'll get there. So next is Big Cass's girlfriend, Carmella. And James Ellsler, they're coming out for a Carmella-bration because they're going to cancel Independence Day, right? And Carmella's more important because she is the first, second, and only Miss Money in the Bank. And she mocks them for thinking anyone else might win. And she says, sometimes you can't get what you want, which, facts. She talks about being able to cash in whenever she wants, but luckily, Naibe interrupts. Naomi's belt glows.
It's the bestest thing I've seen in a long time.
Like, I had seen the video of it glowing, like, as the live shows, but I didn't know they were going to put it on TV. And it's, oh, it's so nice on TV. Well, it's perfect.
Simi,
she got to keep the title just for that.
What you think, Simi?
I love her belt. And I love, like, the multicolored hair. I'm so glad they're, like, invested in her. And I hope that they get, like, better booking for her, because why is love? Title. Why? For what? That confuses me. But I love the way she just, like,
said
Ellsworth.
Yeah. She be shading Ellsworth. She called him Ellsworth-less. Because that's what you do. And then Daniel Bryan comes out. The yes chance happened. Before he can say anything, Daniel tells Ellsworth to shut up. He says, you're going to be barred from the arena for the match between Naomi and Lana. And he's like, oh my gosh. Whatever am I gonna do? Wink. And he was like, what you're gonna do is not be in the goddamn arena, because not only are you banned, you have been fined $10,000 and you will not be paid for 30 days. And if you break any of these rules, Carmella will be stripped of her Money in the Bank briefcase. So then Carmella's like, well, shit, get out the ring. Go, go, go. So it was really nice. It was really cute. It was very funny. Naomi got to have her arms in the ring with Daniel. It was super cute. It was almost like if they weren't already hooked up, you could be like, oh, I could see this as a couple. Look at me. I'm trying to start stuff. That's because I was raised on soap operas.
Me too. Couple.
It's awful. Like, no, good and well, they all married. But I'm like, well, they would make a nice couple. But anyway, next was Naomi versus Lana. It took about as long as a fairly extended GIF for Naomi to flip Lana over and then put her in the submission. I don't know the name of the submission hold, but it's the one she beat.
It's called the Butterfly Lock. Shout out to Yoshihashi from New Japan. That's his finishing move.
Nice.
Yeah, so she gave Lana a sunset flip, and then she transitioned into the Butterfly Lock. And then Lana tapped out. To make it no doubt this time.
Yes. So after the match, Naomi's cousin that we don't talk about, Tamina, ran into it and got in Naomi's face for a second. And then she was like, looking at Lana like, get up. Something on Twitter said, that's how your mama act when you get your ass beat after a fight on the playground. Like, get up. And I was like, oh, that's mean. But accurate.
Like, so, it seems like they're doing it backwards. If I would have been doing this and I knew that Lana was going to get like a couple of matches, it seems like they would have had Naomi just wipe her out the first match, then she gets like a little bit better the second match, and then if they have a third match, she actually like maybe gives her a pretty good run. But it's like they gave her the long match the first time, she got like a kind of short match the second time, and then they just wiped her out this time.
Yeah, it's almost like kind of booking it like the element of surprise is what's getting Lana over, and now Naomi's less and less, and now not surprised at all. And now we're back where we all thought we would be, which is Lana getting squashed. But, you know, listen, I'll go this route as long as it keeps the belt on Naomi. I really don't care. It's fine.
Right. That's
because you know why? Because the belt glows. And it doesn't just glow blue. It changes color. Just like her shoes do. Just like her hair does. It's fucking lit. And I still think she got more money in her budget than everybody else in the back.
Has to.
Because it's just like the hair is too fly. The clothes is too unique. Charlotte been wearing the same little two-piece for 3 months. She just changed her robe out every now and again.
Glitter on her face.
Yeah, and the glitter. Yeah, she got different stones. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe Charlotte just uses her money on stones. Anyway, Shinsuke the Bay is backstage for an interview. He's immediately attacked from behind for Baron Corbin. And then Corbin's like, do I look like I'm afraid of you? And then my notes say that Nakamura was like, yeah, because it's not like he got his ass beat. Nakamura was ready to pop up and get it popping because what mouthpiece? What stay ready so you don't have to get ready? It wasn't like when Baron Corbin tried to beat up Sammy and Corlos Camito. He was just out for the count. Oh, no. Nakamura hopped his ass right on back up and was ready to slay his face.
I wish Sammy would learn from this because he keeps getting jumped by Baron Corbin, his receding hairline. I don't understand.
I think he's just like, what do you call it? Like one of those well-meaning people who's just like, oh, everything's wonderful, but you should know better. Kevin Owens is your best friend. You saw how that worked out for you. You shouldn't trust nobody. You should always keep your head on the swivel. What are you doing in life? But, you know, can't tell men nothing, so.
Sad.
I love that the president has, like, created this and also ruined it at the same time. Like, sad. Oh, God.
I've been backed out for so long, and this is what happens. My dreams are crushed. I hate it.
Oh, my goodness. Sad. Okay. Next is the rap battle. Wale is the, I don't know, referee, if you want to call it.
Yeah, mediator.
Mediator, sure. Whatever. Judge. Whatever you want to call it. He's that, and he has on an NWO Wolfpack shirt. I thought the girl was Chris Benoit because, you know, flatheads all look alike. But, Young Littlefoot informed me that, no dear, it's actually Lex Luger. I didn't know he was in the Wolfpack. I think I might have stopped watching wrestling at that point. That was news to me. But, yes, NWO shirt. He introduces the Usos first. Every Samoan in the back came out with them. And then the New Day comes out. They've got their wacky costume people, kind of like Adam they Rose.
Yeah, that's who they had.
Yeah. The Rosebuds.
Yeah, that's yeah. Minus Braun Strowman.
I mean, he could have come back one night only, no? Yeah, he should have. So everybody gets a turn. Big E goes first. Tosses some insults regarding Rikishi and the size of that ass. Usos go next, make jokes about Big E's chest. And then, at the pop of the night, the Usos toss out a line about Xavier Woods being rated R. Who knew about it? I was like, ooh. And what made it so awesome was Kofi's face and Big E's face. And hell, even Xavier's face, like, you got me. It was great. Oh, it was great.
The first they made a short joke, City was like, five. You say you 5'5", but we really see you 5'3". Then they went in and was like, don't be all rated R like your man Xavier Woods.
if you haven't seen it, go watch it. If you have seen it, go back and just look at it. Yeah, actually, look at all of New Day's faces and the time that it takes them to like acknowledge the shade and stop themselves from laughing. Oh, classic. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, Wale did a good job selling it too.
Yeah, he did. He got on the floor like, wow, which is accurate. Still some more. Kofi is next, targets the Usos for being fat. You know, it rhymed, but I don't have all the notes.
And the weenie do is pretty good.
Yeah. And they're like, y'all don't know what a weenie do is, but I knew what it was.
But you can't, like, but for Kofi, though, you can't insult guys for dropping out of college and then call the stop sign a hexagon.
That was one of the things where somebody said it, and then I think Xavier looked at him like, that ain't what it is, but they don't know that, though. Like, that's what I read in his face, because I had to stop, and I was like, that's a stop sign is not a, mm-mm, no, it's not. But you see how they didn't call him on it. So it's not like they knew either. Xavier knew. Xavier definitely knew. But yeah, so I'm pointing out that Kingston used to be a fake Jamaican. Xavier comes back and it's like, Jimmy wasn't nothing until his wife put him on Total Divas. And then somebody was like, yeah, I went there. And then there was a roaming joke that culminated in, they should go back to holding bags for Roman Reigns. And I was
Did you see when he Superman punched Kofi? He said that? Xavier Superman punched Kofi?
He did. That kind of made like the punctuation like, oh, that's awful. That's funny. It's funny.
So who do y'all think won?
The Usos pushed. Oh, the Usos.
Usos?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Like, generally, I would have put it at a tie, but that whole rated R thing, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Xavier did a good job of closing the gap at the end, but yeah, he couldn't overcome that.
That's just so much to deal with. Your sex tape. My gosh. But yeah. So I enjoyed it. I liked it. It's lit. The Usos were gonna fight Woods, so while I disqualified them, and all the whole time he's like, I'm impartial.
No, when they start fighting, he's like, see, that's why we can't have nothing. That's why I got suspended last time. We can't have no ruckus in here.
Man, SmackDown is just so much better. Anyway, next match was Aiden English versus Randy Orton. I don't know why they're fighting each other, but.
Oh, last week. Let me hear you.
Oh,
man.
Because. Yeah, Randy Orton was being an asshole and interrupted Aiden while he's singing to the crowd. So that's why they have a match this week. So as Orton poses for his entrance, Aiden attacks him from behind because don't turn your back on me, Mufasa. He nailed him with the microphone, tossed him into the steps. Then he's singing. There's a commercial break, but the match is actually showing while the commercials are on. So like, if you cared about this match, I don't know why you would. At some point, Orton tosses off his hoodie, tosses Aiden over the announce table into the barricade and into the ring post. Then he gives him a back suplex onto the table. The referee tells him to get in the ring, and then Orton hits him with a draping DDT off the announce table. Then he grabs the steel steps and the ref, and Orton was like, fuck your feelings, and hit him anyway. So then the ref called for the bell, essentially a DQ, and it was an RKO, but technically Aiden won the match, but is that really winning? You know? So then Jinder Mahal and the boys come out. He calls America the home of prejudice and the land of ignorance. And again, I don't see the lie, but you know, none of my business. Jinder wishes he could put everyone in the crowd into the Punjabi prison and beat respect into them. And he says he will destroy Orton's once great legacy and calls himself the only superpower in the WWE. He was about to speak in Punjabi, but Randy Orton was an asshole and cut him off. And maybe he would RKO him back to India. I don't hate Jinder because he's different. They hate him because he's a jackass. Which, if that were the case, wouldn't everybody hate Randy? Anyway, how did we feel about that?
I like the fact that Aiden English wasn't taking no shit this week. It actually kind of like, you know, made me be like, hey, I see you, Aiden. Like, he wasn't going for Randy Orton trying to push him around this week. And he actually was dominating the early part of the match. So I thought he looked good, even though he lost. And then, you know, Black Power Fist, whenever Jinder comes out there cutting them promos.
Mm-hmm. You talk that shit. Them Caucasians be so mad.
Be like, get in formation.
Big mad.
Jinder about to speak.
Mm-hmm. Gotta love the ethnics. But yeah, so next, Ty Dillinger walks around backstage and he's talking to Tanae Young. He runs into Tanae Young. And there's a construction worker on a ladder behind them. So Tanae Young, his strategy for the Battle Royal, Ty gives her generic answers. She's a 10. And then Renee's like, they cut to Renee, and Renee's like, what's this all about? Ty walks off and he's like, hey, Fandango, because they are horrible. But yeah, so she compliments Tyler Breeze on filling out the dress. Then they interview Maria and Mike. There's some technical difficulties, but you can still hear them, so you get the gist of it. They come back to hear.
Hold on. I like what they did on Talking Smack. They were like, this idiot Sami Zayn tripped over the cord and messed up our promo.
That's a good explanation. I appreciate that. So, it just so happens that there's a loud crashing sound, and there's Sami Zayn looking like he did something he should not have been doing. And he says he's sorry because I guess he did that last week. And then his music hits and he has to go to his match. So the participants of the Independence Day Battle Royal are AJ of the Styles, Sammy, Luke Harper, Ziggles, Fandango, Tyler Breeze, Mojo Rawley, Zack Ryder, Jason Jordan, Epico, this is a lot of people. Epico, I thought Epico left. Sankara, Eric, it's a lot of people.
The colognes have asked for their release, but I don't think they have gotten it granted yet.
They don't need to ask for their release. They need to ask for Carlito to come back. Duh. Well,
I don't know if you got a chance to see Glow yet, but you'll see why Carlito ain't in a rush to come back.
He can do. What, he looking like a snack? I know you.
That's up to Simi to answer. Have you watched Glow, Simi?
Haven't yet. I have to watch it. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, yeah. Y'all get into it. It's really, really good. Y'all are going to love it.
How many episodes is he in?
He's in about 3.
And how many episodes is it? Like 10?
10. Mm-hmm.
Okay, where in this 10 are his 3? Are they interspersed? Do I only need to see the first 3?
The one you really want to see, I think, is like episode 5 or 6, where they do the training montage, where he's like, the training, where he's helping train them.
Sounds nice. Okay, Creepcast went over. Thank you. Good to know. All right, so here's how it goes. Owens is on commentary. They plug his new DVD. Almost immediately, Ziggles is eliminated by Luke Harper. Then Eric Rowan eliminates Fandango. Then he tosses Tyler over the top. Tyler jumps into Fandango's arms so his feet don't hit the ground. And then Fandango puts Tyler back into the ring, but then Eric eliminates him again anyway. Eric also eliminates Sin Cara. Luke eliminates Connor, but Mojo immediately eliminates Luke. Fans didn't like that too much. So, Zack Ryder and Mojo eliminate Eric. Then Mojo eliminates Zack in the shadiest, most obvious move. And then Kevin Owens is on commentary like, look at this dirty rat. Look what he did to his friend. This is so messed up. This is like, you are not going to lecture anybody about friendship. What is wrong with you?
That's what makes it so great.
It's like he's awful. He should be eliminated now. Oh, gosh. Okay, but then Sammy almost immediately eliminates Mojo with a haluva kick. I still can't say it right. Haluva kick. Something happened when we weren't watching, because when we come back, there's Sammy, AJ, and Ty. Those are the 3 that are left. So Ty almost eliminates both men, but then Sammy gets the better of him and tosses him out. Sammy gives AJ an exploder into the corner, but he dodges the haluva kick. And then Sammy tries to suplex AJ out of the ring, can't do it. AJ counters with a knee to the head. Then AJ hits a Pele kick, and then Sammy falls off the side of the ring. He wins, and then literally 3 seconds later, Kevin Owens attacks AJ. AJ fights back. He goes for a Styles Clash, but then Kevin bails. He ends the show with AJ in the middle of the ring, posing with the title.
Fun episode. The rap battle was fantastic. I know a lot of people were like, when they heard it about it, they were like, oh, this is going to be whack. WWE not going to let them do what they want to do. But they defied all the odds and they delivered on that thing.
Yeah, they did.
I was skeptical about that rap battle, and then it happened. I was like, oh okay.
I'm low-key annoyed that they had the rap battle in Phoenix, though. Like, really? Phoenix?
Yeah.
And I guess you can have it anywhere, but I was just like, no, not Phoenix. They don't deserve. They haven't earned.
Look at this championship!
Yeah.
It looks unbelievable.
Thank you.
I mean, people get to put their side plates on and make it look a certain way, but you've really lit it up.
Thank you. It took a bit of a work, you know. It was kind of complicated getting it lit without changing the look of it too much and hiding the lights, but we did it and I love it.
I have never seen somebody have to deal with different light issues like you do. All over the place, from your entrance to your gear, all of it. That's a good shirt too. Let's get a look at that thing.
Thank you. Right now it has 7 lighting settings, but I definitely want more. But if
7 lighting settings,
you need more glow.
If there's one thing Naomi needs, it's more glow.
I want more. I want the back plate lit up.
The whole thing done. I mean, it looks fantastic on your entrance. It looks look, you can see it here. Is this the first time you're able to see it?
Wow, that's really cool.
In your pants too.
Whoa.
Well, before we get into 205 Live, just want to remind everybody to support the sponsors that help bring the WrestleCast to you each and every week for free. Go to our website at www.cspn.us. Click on the banner that says support our podcast at the top of the page. When you click on the support tab, go into Amazon, buy things on Amazon, help support the podcast by buying things on Amazon. Some of your purchase will come back to the show and help keep the WrestleCast free each and every week. So CSPN.us and Amazon, do it today. Real quick run-throughs, 205 Live, NXT, and Lucha Underground. We got Titus walking in the building. He's on the phone talking to Tozawa, talking about how they're about to set it off because it's Titus Worldwide. Titus makes an offer to Daivari and Mustafa Ali to join Titus Worldwide as he passes them in the hallway. Titus comes into the ring, cuts promo on the upcoming match between Neville and Tozawa this Sunday. Titus, you know, all his big talk and bragging brings out Neville. Neville shows the video from the main event of Raw to show what happens when people sign to Titus Worldwide. Neville says that Titus should just forfeit the match for Tozawa this Sunday. Neville wrestles Lince Dorado. Neville hits a powerbomb on Dorado, then follows that up with the rings of Neville, and he gets a submission victory. Backstage interaction between Rich Swann and TJ Perkins about their match against each other later tonight. Tony Nese takes on Jack Gallagher. Nese fakes a knee injury, but Gallagher wasn't fooled, and he gets the win. Kendrick comes out up on the big screen to tell us about little-known facts about how ungreat Britain is. Next, Cedric Alexander highlight package of his win over Noam Dar for Monday Night Raw. Noam Dar is in the back getting checked out by the trainer to see if he needs a neck brace. Trainer says that he doesn't. Alicia Fox comes in. Noam wants to set his sights on the Cruiserweight title. Alicia asks, what about Cedric? Noam says that it's over, and Alicia says it's not over until Cedric leaves 205 Live. Main event, TJ Perkins versus Rich Swann. Both men exchange roll-ups for near falls when Rich Swann gets Perkins in a jackknife roll-up, and Rich Swann gets the win. So, a pretty decent show. Not much happened. Titus opening up the show, walking through the back of the locker room was pretty funny. You know, he had his cookout gear on, his 4th of July cookout gear on, so he was, you know, doing it big. Next, we have NXT. Start off with Cassius Ohno and Hideo Itami versus Alexander Wolfe and Killian Dane. Alexander Wolfe tries to block GTS by holding onto the ropes when Killian Dane makes a blind tag. Itami hits Wolfe with the GTS, then Dane comes in and gives Hideo the big crossbody block, and they get the win. Ember Moon press conference at the Performance Center after a workout. Ember's talking about taking the next step to beat Asuka and becoming the NXT Women's Champion. Ruby Riott then crashes the set and says that Ember has had her chances to become champion. Ruby says that she hasn't had that one-on-one chance yet, and if anybody deserves a title shot, it's her. Ember says the goal will always be to beat Asuka, but if anybody wants to test her skills, she's down for that too. Drew McIntyre backstage promo on his quest to become the next NXT champion. They go back, show us highlights of the DIY turn in NXT TakeOver Chicago. And then they announced that Johnny Gargano is returning to NXT next week. Interview with the iconic duo at the Performance Center that fades into Cien Almas in a heated discussion with the young lady. Then they show highlights of Bianca Belair defeating Aaliyah to qualify for the Mae Young Classic. Then we have our Roderick Strong, Bobby Roode video package. And then they have quick interviews with both guys before they go out to the ring. Then we have Bobby Roode versus Roderick Strong, NXT title match. Roddy goes for a knee strike, but Roode ducks and is able to hit the glorious DDT, but only gets a near fall. Roddy makes a comeback and hits a big backbreaker and goes for the cover. Roode gets his foot under the bottom rope, but the ref doesn't see until he comes down for the 3 count. The bell rings, Roddy goes to celebrate with his mom and wife at ringside when the ref tells him the match isn't over. Roode knocks Roddy off the apron, and as he's getting back in the ring, while the ref is explaining what's going on, Roode gives Roddy the glorious DDT on the outside, right in front of Roddy's mom and his wife. Roode rolls Roddy back into the ring, gives him another glorious DDT, and gets the pin to retain the NXT title. I like Bobby Roode. I like his matches. I like his title matches. They're pretty good. Another pretty good title match to me. A lot of people like, they don't really like him because, you know, NXT is all about the high flying, fast moving, and he's kind of a little bit slower, but I dig it.
Yeah. So,
next up, Lucha Underground. Y'all might have a new member of y'all's Creepcast, DD, Dante Fox.
We can always use more members.
The show starts with Dante Fox jogging through Boyle Heights when he starts to have flashbacks of being a POW in Afghanistan, and he has also flashbacks of getting rescued.
That is so dark.
Yes. We have our favorite, Sexy Star.
Ooh, oh, he's fine as shit. Mm-hmm. Hey, Dante.
See, you missed your cue.
Oh, what is a Sexy Star? I'm
okay,
sorry.
Yeah, go back to your Googles. Versus PJ Black. Taya comes down and throws PJ Black a pair of brass knuckles. PJ misses Sexy Star with the punch. Sexy gets the brass knuckles, uses them, but the ref sees her and she gets disqualified. And these are the last of the first round matches for the Cueto Cup. So PJ Black advances to round two of the Cueto Cup. Then we get another training video of Johnny Mundo and Rey Mysterio. Next Cueto Cup match is between Son of Havoc and Son of Madness. Son of Madness goes for a roll up, but Son of Havoc kicks out at two. Son of Havoc then rolls up Son of Madness, and he gets the win. After the match, Son of Madness gives Son of Havoc a big boot and takes his motorcycle vest. Prince Puma versus Ricky Mandel. Puma hits the super kick, follows that up with the sit-out pile driver, and Prince Puma gets the win. Then we go to Rey Mysterio in the back with Dragon Azteca. He's talking to him about not missing his comeback match. Azteca says that when Rey beats Mundo, that he wants to get a title shot. Puma walks in and tells Rey he hopes that he beats Mundo so Puma can get his title rematch. Main event, Dante Fox versus Dragon Azteca. The Worldwide Underground arrives and beats down Rey Mysterio at ringside. Dragon Azteca does a dive to the outside to make the save for Rey. Back in the ring, Azteca gets hit with the super kick from Fox. Fox then hits Azteca with the Fox Catcher and gets the win to advance to round two of the Cueto Cup. And so that was Lucha Underground for this week. Nothing really spectacular, happened on that particularly. It was mostly about Dante Fox. He started and closed the show, so I guess they're trying to hype him up. And at some point, him and Killshot are going to have a big blow off match, so that'll be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Now he's married. You don't understand how this whole Creepcast thing works.
Well, I didn't know that. I know what your requirements. I know what your requirements are for your Creepcast. Yes,
mingle.
That's mm-hmm. the number one and only requirement for your Creepcast.
Basically, essentially.
All right, so we're gonna get to do what everybody came to hear, and that's who you got for Great Balls of Fire this Sunday, starting at 8 p.m. We did a Twitter poll for the hashtag. So we let the listeners of the WrestleCast decide. And the hashtag that we're going to use this Sunday is hashtag Let It Burn Cast. Like the Usher song.
Okay.
Yes. So
I wanted Firecast, but Let It Burn is good too.
Okay. So that will be starting at 8 p.m. this Sunday. Of course.
Does it start at 8 or does it start?
It starts at
7.
Let It Burn Cast starts at 8. At 7, okay. It is, as always, hashtag say no to pre-shows.
Say no to pre-shows, yes.
Yes. So, if you do join us for the pre-show.
I'm still on vacation brain.
If you join us for the pre-shows, use the hashtag say no to pre-shows as well as Let It Burn Cast. All right, Dee Dee, you want me to take the correspondence this week?
No, I got it. I'm ready.
All right. So we're going to start with the Great Balls of Fire. Who you got? Going to start with our pre-show match, and that's going to be for the Cruiserweight title, as we have the King of the Cruiserweights, Neville, versus Tozawa. Ooh. So, Simi, we'll start with you. Who you got?
I have Tozawa, because I think they've been, like, building it up with this Titus things, and Neville is due to lose that, because he's had it for a while.
All right. Didi Jonet.
I have Neville, because I don't know who Tozawa is.
The little Asian guy who does the chant?
I thought there were a lot of little Asian guys, no?
Well, we'll pass. I'm going to go with Neville. I think they got one more match in them for these two guys.
Okay.
All right, so now we're going to start the official Let It Burn cast portion of Who You Got. Hashtag. We're going to start off with Big Cass versus Enzo. Didi Jonet, who you got?
Listen, okay, so I have Enzo, but I think there will be, like, help.
Okay.
Like, I feel like the Big Show will come around or something. I don't know.
All right.
But, yeah, I got Enzo. Mm-hmm.
That's definitely a hard pick.
Yeah, I don't know.
Simi, who you got?
I love little Enzo, but I have Big Cass.
I am going to agree with Simi, and I will be taking Big Cass as well.
Fair.
Next up, we have Seth Rollins versus Bray Wyatt.
Ooh. Simi,
who you got?
Cross for Jesus, all the way. I love Seth Rollins. I can't. Seth Rollins all the way.
Didi Jonet.
I've got Bray.
Didi Jonet.
You know, he's got all the energy of a cheating husband on his side.
Oh, God.
Allegedly.
I'm going to agree with you, but not for those reasons. And I'm going to say Bray Wyatt as well. And hashtag say yes to JoJo.
He did. That's the problem. Allegedly.
Next, we have Cesaro and Sheamus versus the Hardy Boys for the Raw Tag Team titles and the 30-minute Iron Man match. Didi Jonet, who you got?
I'm still in the section.
All right.
Listen, I can tell I'm tired because I keep writing Cesarzo. Okay, versus the Heart. Yeah, I got Cesaro and Sheamus.
All right. Simi, who you got?
I got Cesaro and Sheamus too.
Yeah, finally we agree on something.
I'm going to make it a clean sweep. I don't see the Hardy Boys getting it back this time.
So we all team Sheamus.
Yes. Yeah, we're all in the section. Sheamus.
Yep. There we go.
We have The Miz versus Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental title. Simi, who you got?
The Miz.
Didi, we already know who you got.
Ya tú sabes. I got The Miz.
That will be another clean sweep.
Yeah.
As I will choose The Miz as well.
Yeah.
Now here's where things will be getting to become a little shaky. As we have the Boss Bay, Sasha Banks, versus the Goddess Cakes champ, Alexa Bliss, for the Raw Women's title. Didi Jonet, who you got?
In Trump's America, I always bet on black. So I have Sasha.
Simi?
I don't think she's going to win, but I have her. That's how I play the game.
Simi, who you got?
Always Sasha.
Well, you guys know who I have. Little Miss Bliss, Goddess Cakes champ, Alexa Bliss.
See, but I can't do it in Trump's America. Maybe if he gets impeached. I can't do it right now, though.
We have Roman Reigns. Ooh. Versus Braun Strowman in an ambulance match. Simi, who you got?
I'm going Strowman.
Okay. Any particular reason?
I just like him. But I think I'm building him up a lot, so I think he's going to win.
Okay. Didi Jonet?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I think pisses everybody off, so it makes me happy. But I guess I'll go with Strowman. I don't know. Huh? That's one I probably regret.
I'm going to go with the big dog, Roman Reigns.
Man, I just don't know about that one.
And now, for what everybody came to see, Brock Lesnar versus Samoa Joe for the Universal title. Didi Jonet, who you got?
I have to go with at least one Samoan for this, so I'm going to go ahead and go with Samoa Joe.
All right.
Cindy. Because I figure if, you know, old, you know, Brock Lesnar, not Brock Lesnar, if old Goldberg can get a win, why couldn't Angry Joe?
Is this true?
It's my thought process, at least.
Simi, what do you got?
Samoa Joe and his best of best, all the way. I have a Samoa Joe. Brock Lesnar's tiny teeth make me uncomfortable. So.
Does he have tiny teeth? Probably he does have tiny teeth, yeah, he does.
I'm going to go with Brock Lesnar.
Oh, he's trying to play spoiler.
But I think it's going to be one of the toughest matches he's had in the last 2 or 3 years, though. He's going to win, but barely.
That's fun. Ooh, I got a question for y'all when we get off this.
Okay.
Again, professionalism will wait.
Again, the hashtag for this Sunday's live tweet, hashtag LetItBurnCast. As we will be using that hashtag to live tweet Great Balls of Fire this Sunday starting at 8 p.m. So please join us and share your commentary with color with the hosts and fans of the WrestleCast.
I guess I should be glad y'all didn't choose Balls Cast.
Yeah. It could have got out of hand, but, you know. That's the reason why I thought it would be fun to let the fans choose this one to kind of see where their creative minds were. So at this point, we'll open it up to our guests. She has any shout outs. You can tell people to follow you on Twitter or anything you have going on.
You can follow me on Twitter at DancingOff88. I just reply a lot of memes and talk about Beyonce. So if you like that, shout out to you guys for inviting me. And I love this show. So I'm really happy to guest host on it.
Well, thank you for listening. And like I said, thank you for always supporting and being part of the live tweets, hashtag RawCast, hashtag SmackDown Matters every Monday and Tuesday, and spending, you know, 5 hours with us every week at least. Miss Didi Jonet, shout outs.
I'm going to give a shout out to, what's his name, Samuel and Greg, because, you know, they be hard work and they do their business and they hold it down. Shout out to you because you always hold it down. Like, I don't know what we would do without you, to be quite honest, on. Like, because we're not organized at all. And also, happy belated birthday, though.
I appreciate it.
Yes, turn up. Woo, woo. Okay, yeah, who else? Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Mel, because I go away for vacation and all of a sudden, Good and Terrible Show is back. What? Yes. Come through. Shout out to my tan because it's lit. Shout out to Miami because all y'all are really cute down in Miami. Like, that's just weird. Y'all need to migrate. Share some of that cuteness with the country. Shout out to Semi. She's clearly a part of Ladies Night now. Like, it's done deal. Totally a gorgeous lady of the WrestleCast. It's obvious. Yeah, and then just shout out to all my gorgeous ladies of the WrestleCast. Shout out to my co-host Jade, traveling the world, looking like a snack on Instagram. If you want to keep up with me, my name is Didi Jonet. Anywhere you would want to find me. Because somebody was asking me what my snap was. It's that. And if you don't find me, that means you're not meant to find me. I'm magical. That's it.
All right. I'd like to give a shout out to our co-host, Didi Jonet, returning safe and sound from her vacation.
Yeah.
I'd like to give a shout out to our guest tonight, Miss Sammy, for joining us. And like Didi said, now that you have made your first guest appearance, you are definitely will be a candidate for the Ladies Night WrestleCast. I have my forecast for that to be in August. So we'll have to get with Jade to the max when, you know, things work out for her. And you guys will definitely be hearing that. So look out for that next month. I'd like to give a shout out to Sam and Greg. Also give a shout out to Classic. Give a shout out to Keith Snow H. Give a shout out to JPK Moto. Give a shout out to Jupiter Julep, Queen Mill Mindy, and of course, The Whole Glow. And everybody who joins us in the live tweets and everybody who will join us in the live tweet this Sunday. Again, it is hashtag LetItBurnCast for our hashtag for Great Balls of Fire this Sunday. Also, you guys don't forget to check out K Cast a Strong Style, as we will be reviewing the G1 USA cards from Saturday and Sunday. And then we will also be previewing the G1 Climax, which is their month-long tournament to decide who will get to be in the main event at Wrestle Kingdom coming up in January. So don't forget to check that out. So for Simi and Didi Jone, I'm Don De La Rente, and this has been episode 141 of the WrestleCast. Stay tuned for the party promo.
And my guest tonight will be battling for the Universal Championship. First, let me introduce you to the challenger, Samoa Joe.
Let's get this over with.
Now, please welcome, joined by his advocate, Paul Heyman, the Universal Champion, Brock Lesnar. Now, gentlemen, I've had a number of questions.
Wait, Cole, hold up. Nobody came here today to hear your questions. And I have no idea why I am still answering questions. All I've done since I've won this spot is make statements. Every week I've come out and I've made a statement. So I have a few questions for my opponent and his advocate. Paul, I need to ask you something. How did it feel? How did it feel, Paul, when I put you
in
my
question? Wait a minute, Joe.
Oh.
You're fighting me on Sunday. You're not fighting Paul Heyman. Let me tell you how this works, okay? All right? I'm the champ. You're not. On Sunday, I walk into the ring as the champ, and I walk out of the ring as the champ. You get nothing.
I get nothing.
Nothing, Jeff.
That's funny because I've been getting a piece of you each and every week, and you've done nothing. I've took your advocate unconscious. You've done nothing. I've done to you. You've done nothing.
You're nothing but a coward.
I'm a coward, right?
That's all you are.
Well, that's all I am, is a coward. What's funny? Because every time you come looking for me, you can't seem to find me, but I've found you.
I ain't been looking for you, Joe. You got it all wrong. You've been looking for me.
Oh,
you
really?
Know why? Because I'm the champ.
Oh,
everybody's looking to be the champ.
Well, let's go, champ. If you're the champ, let's go, champ. Let's do this for real then. Why are we playing around? Why are we messing around?
That's why we're here.
You know what's real funny? You're the champ, you don't sweat me, yet I'm quarantined somewhere else in the building. They got you set up way far away from
me.
Listen,
you ain't gonna get under my skin, all right? I know where you're coming from. Hell, I did the same damn thing when I beat The Rock, John Cena, Triple H. The list goes on, Joe. I understand what you're trying to do.
You're gonna drop names, right? You're gonna drop names, all these people you've beaten. I've been choking on the best for 20 years. Daniel Bryan, I did him. AJ Styles, I did him.
Wow.
Roman Reigns, I did him. Seth Rollins, I did him. And Brock, I'm doing you next.
You're
gonna be doing it. You know what's so funny? You guys are real smug and real silly when I'm...
No,
real confident.
Oh,
hey, your advocate, he talks real big when I'm not around, but when I show up, it's a very different tune. So I'll tell you what, boys, why are we playing around? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this?
I think he's coming for you.
Come find me. Come find me, Joe.
We got nothing to listen about. We're done talking! Brock!
What? You got 60.
Yeah, hey. Know who you are, office. Know who you are, office. I'm going to remind you who I am. Where's Brock?
No, Brock.
Hurry up. Full chance.